Alexa, show me Donald Trump's tax returns.
Sorry, I don't know that.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. All right. Things can get a bit weird.
Really?
If you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, that's good.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? So good to be with you. I feel a closeness to you that I can't describe, so I won't. Anyway, how you doing? Hey, let's go to the White House. Now Mike Pence is throwing a pie at Donald, and it just missed him. Donald Duck. Hey. Donald Duck. It's funny. I don't know why I find this funny. Because it's not. A couple of disturbing things going on out of the White House, unfortunately. A couple. Give me a break. I'll focus on a couple. Donald Trump yesterday was addressing evangelists. For some reason, people of the cloth love this lying bastard for some reason. It's just kind of doesn't make any sense. These good, respectful, straight-laced, wonderful, close to God people, apparently most of them support Donald Trump, who is also a close man to God, who is respectable and a man of the cloth. And what everything's turned around. I still pinch myself in the mornings, like, was this all a dream, or is this like really happened? Anyway, he's addressing them at one of his evangelistic rallies. And apparently this is what he says. And check it out. He says, behind closed doors. In other words, he didn't say it to the public. He said it to them in a private, you know, gathering that wasn't being recorded. Or was it? He said, if the Republicans lose any elections, violence will result. Violence will result? What? What, are you serious? That's what he said. And nobody, as usual, when Donald Trump says something, nobody's quite sure exactly what he said or what he meant. But the inference, without question, because it's been part of his campaign, is to fear-monger. That means it means to strike fear into people so that they vote in a certain way. Like, if you don't vote this way, horrible things will happen. Your house will fall on your head. You'll perish from the earth. Everything's going to be horrible. There'll be violence and riots in the streets. Don, get a hold of yourself. Oh, my God. Yeah, you don't manipulate anybody. But if you don't vote for me, not only will I tear you down on the Twitter, I'll ruin your career. I will badmouth you. I will have a campaign to destroy you. And there'll be violence in the streets. Wow. Don, please see a psychologist. If even that will help, go on some medication. You're out of control. I mean, what are you doing? Look, you have a very attractive wife. Why don't you just go somewhere with her and forget this whole thing? Why are you wasting your time? Donald Trump's reaction to the passing of John McCain was to go play golf for the whole day in New Jersey. It's the way I typically mourn when somebody of great national importance passes and the entire nation is mourning and lowering its flags on all public buildings. Donald puts the flag back up and goes golfing. I mean, Mr. Sensitivity, yeah. Hey, Donald, you going to the funeral proceedings for John McCain? No, because you were specifically asked by the family, don't show up. John McCain actually specifically, in his wishes, publicly said, I don't want Donald coming to my funeral. So that's how beloved you are, sir. That's the kind of great statesman you are, sir. That's the kind of person that brings people together, sir. You are hated so much, you've said such horrible things about John McCain. His family doesn't want you. You've got a restraining order against showing up at this funeral, sir. Because you're such a warm, loving leader. Because you bring a nation together, as you typically do. And then you try to scare the pants off them to intimidate them. You're a wonderful human being, sir. And I know that the people who are religiously lovers of God, for some reason, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you did it. Do you flash shiny objects in front of them and they just follow the leader? I think you do. I think you do. I think you're really good at flashing shiny objects. You suck at everything else. Trump says that if I'm elected president, I do a horrible impression of him, by the way. If I'm elected president, I'm going to get the smartest, best people to serve with me in my cabinet. Yeah, well, half of them have been indicted. The other half retired or pretty much said, I've had enough of this crap. I'm out of here. So, yes, Don, you seem to be really good at picking people out. It's laughable, but it's not really funny at all. And this tax return thing, come on, man. You're the president of the United States. All modern presidents going back decades and decades and decades have revealed their tax returns to the American public. Why? Because you're the president of the United States. You're, quote unquote, the leader of the free world. And yet you don't let me see your financial dealings. Seriously? The nation asked, and you pretty much just held up your middle finger and said, no, I'm not doing it. What are you hiding, you bold-faced liar? What are you hiding? If we were to discover your financial dealings, or even to look at one of your tax returns in detail, not just the first page, we might be quite shocked about what goes on behind closed doors. And I'm not talking about Russian prostitutes peeing on your head. That's your business. But the way that the President of the United States handles his financial dealings, that is my business. I'm your employer. Don, the White House is not your house. The White House belongs to the American people. And we pretty much are going to say to you rather shortly, get the hell out of our house. Pack your stuff up, take your mail order bride and your little mafia family, and get the hell out of town. Go play golf somewhere and divot your face or something. Get out of here. Every weekend this man plays golf. People used to complain about Ronald Reagan taking a nap for an hour. This is nothing compared to that. Come on. Donald Trump also, I don't know much about Twitter because I am not a millennial. I don't know what the hell I am. You can't put tags on me, baby. But I'm not a millennial, and I don't understand. I do the Twitter thing, but I'm not married to it. Apparently, Donald Trump started blocking people on his Twitter account whom disagreed with him, which I would do as well. Difference is, I'm not the president. I don't make presidential statements on my Twitter account, so it's kind of different. So Donald started blocking his critics from his Twitter account because he didn't want to hear it on his Twitter account. A federal judge said, no, you can't do that. Twitter, whatever the hell that is a public forum. You can't do that. You can do it on Facebook as a private individual, but Twitter is a public forum. You cannot block people, Don. So unblock. That's my man. High five, Don. That's my man. I mean that sarcastically, just in case you misunderstood that. Anyway, I have spent another good amount of time on this this fake human being, so let's move on. As I've said, kids are on their way back to school as we speak. Temperatures today in the Northeast, heat index-wise, will exceed 100 degrees, up to 105 in certain major cities in the Northeast today. This being the end of August and the onslaught of September is but a mere a few days away. September can be typically hot. I'm no meteorologist, but yeah, it can. I get it. But it's time for the little kids to go back to National Babysitting Organization, which is called the school system. Because that's all they do. They babysit the kids. Sure, some of them learn something somewhere along the line, but basically it's a babysitting service. They feed them lunch. They house them. They give them a little locker to put their stuff in. It's like a home away from home for the afternoon, morning and afternoon, you know? They socialize, they meet with their friends, and then every once in a while, just by osmosis, they learn something here and there. God. It's very different. Very different than other school systems across the world, across the globe. They also house them for a good amount of the day, but they do something that we don't do. They actually teach them shit. It's, how did that happen? We learn by osmosis. I mean, kids that really want to learn, that actually sit down and listen to information and soak it in because they want to, they're far and few between. I really think so. I haven't done any surveys. I'm not going to lie to you. This is just a feeling that I get. I went to school. I was a kid. I sat in a classroom. Our classroom size typically when I was growing up was about 36 kids. Not too big, not too small. It was just right. And some schmucks stood in front of the class. They were usually schmucks. Usually little power-hungry people who were just about to get into politics, or maybe if they weren't teaching, they'd be on the school committee in order to taste some of that I'm bigger than you are kind of power. A lot of teachers were in that position. They're just nasty. I never went to a Catholic school because I'm not Catholic. I guess I could have gone if my parents had paid for it and I made believe that I was Catholic. I mean, it's not like, you know, you can't, wait a minute, you're not Catholic. How are you going to prove that? What are you going to do? You're going to look up my records? What are you talking about? You're not Catholic. I can be Catholic if I want to be. You know, it's not like you need Catholic blood. You know, come on. I could have gone to Catholic school. But there were two things that stopped me. One was the uniform. I don't think so. I do not think so. I ain't putting on clothes that everybody else is wearing at the same time. No, that's a little, oh, cultish. Oh, how can I call, what, cultish? Perhaps, what's the term for that? Cultish? The other is that they had nuns. And nuns was like a license to carry. They didn't care what implement they were using. They could hurt you with anything around. Nuns were famous for, I never went to Catholic school, but I hear the stories. They used to walk around with rulers and smack people. I mean, what? You can't do that. That's assault. You can't walk around smacking people's knuckles and stuff with a ruler. Seriously? And I mean, what other office supplies did they use? I mean, Johnny, if you don't shut up, I'm going to staple your head to the wall. Why not? They could have. That's mean. That's mean. To this day, I know a lot of people that don't have rulers in their house because they're afraid someone's going to smack them with it. I can't imagine that. Gosh. Again, it's the fear thing, you know? If you don't stay in line, one of our nuns are going to come over and smack the hell out of you. Ooh, I'm fearful. We're fearful of the deity, of God. I mean, I guess depending on what your beliefs are, that if you're not a good person on this earth, you're going to go to hell. Hell, by the way, is in the center of the earth. Did you know that? That's where it's set up. Yeah. Hell is in the center of the earth, and heaven is somehow up in the clouds up there. I don't know. A little archaic. Kind of know that in the middle of the earth, there's just a lot of molten lava going on and stuff, and I don't think they've set up beds down there in a community. I don't think that's going on, and I don't think that's possible. But whatever, you know, we don't get that far into it. We get into the concept all the way, but we don't quite get into how that's even feasible. We don't get into that part. That's not for me to figure out. That's for the nun to figure out, not me. So we're fearful. That's you know, it keeps us aligned because of fear. Although these days, I wonder how fearful most people are. A lot of people are acting like assholes these days. How fearful are they? Maybe we need, instead of police departments, we just need bands of wandering nuns with rulers. I mean, maybe that would be more effective. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. I really don't know, because I'm not Catholic. Could be if I wanted to be. But I don't know what I have to do to be one. So, I'm not. Pretty much the way that works.
You're listening to The Big Show with Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
No, I don't. It's not true. Thank you, by the way, for listening to the program every once in a while when you have a moment. I do appreciate that. It is how I feed my family through your contributions and your subscriptions to this program. By the way, if you'd like to subscribe and get some of the extras with the Ron Van Dam Show, they are available to you. How do you do that? Well, this is how.
Yeah. Oh, we accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover. Oh.
Wow. That was pretty heavy. Maybe the little kid was right. Maybe they shouldn't be listening to this show. Are you old enough to listen to this? Am I old enough to do this? I don't think so. I never dated a nun. Not because of any particular reason, other than they don't ever seem to change their clothes. They always wear the same thing. And there must be some sexual frustration going on there somewhere. Usually on my part. Our guest is going to be joining us momentarily. He's a fun guest. His name is Dave. He created Captain Underpants. I thought I was Captain Underpants for quite a while because I walk around my house wearing nothing but my underpants and a cape. Is that too much information?
Let's be honest, you are socially awkward. You've no idea how to start a polite conversation. You wouldn't know what to do or say if you stumbled into one. And when it comes to talking with members of the opposite sex, you're like a sixth grade wallflower at the school dance. You need help, and you know it. You need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a courteous, prearranged fee, I am now offering wingman services for both men and women. Even if you've got the vocabulary range of a brain-damaged gibbon, with me at your side explaining to people what you rarely meant to say, every drool-drenched bit of drivel that slobs out of your scone hole will sound witty, erudite, and confident. And ladies, don't be shy. Take my arm and we'll go chat with the gent across the room with whom you've been exchanging glances all evening. Don't worry, he won't be intimidated by my extraordinary good looks. I guarantee he will only see me as your good British friend who happens to be incredibly gay. It's a service only I can provide, because I am Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. So do let me know where we'll be going next, you and I.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. How's it going, Ron?
Great. Dave Polka joins us. Dogman, Lord of the Fleas, has just come out. Another of the Dogman series, half dog, half cop. And it's for kids, but no, it's not. It's for adults. You got it wrong. Anyway, it's a fun book. It's a fun book. It does take me back to my childhood to enjoy a book like this.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you liked it. Did you read a lot of comics growing up?
I did as a young child, and I hadn't really since I was a young child, and this kind of brought me back, to be honest with you, in a very nice, comfortable way.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. That's kind of one of my goals with my books, is I want kids, actually everyone, to associate reading with fun.
It is. It is a lot of fun. What is the target age group for the book?
Probably about age seven and up, but I've heard from some parents and grandparents that their kids as young as three really like the books, too.
That's great. We've talked before. Remind us on how you got into this.
Well, when I was a kid, when I was in second grade, I was having a lot of problems in school. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed with ADHD and dyslexia, and my teacher didn't know what to do with me, so she just kind of moved a desk out into the hallway, and she put me there, and I had nothing else to do out in the hall, so I started making up stories, and that's where my first comic books started, and that's where I developed the characters of Dogman and Captain Underpants.
Yeah, Captain Underpants is almost a household name. I don't know if you know that or not, but it kind of is. Everybody's heard of that.
Yeah, there was a big movie last year, which was a lot of fun, and a new television show on Netflix just came out.
Yeah. How do you feel about the Netflix series? Is it true to form? Are you involved in that particular series?
I'm not too involved in the series, but I really trust the people who are involved, and they did an amazing job. It feels like there's 13 new books, and they're all animated, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah. Now, what there is an underlying message, in a sense. You've just told us about some of your history with this. What is the underlying message? Not that we'll tell kids what it is. They can gather their own impressions, actually.
Well, I think with Dogman, actually in Captain Underpants, too, there's stories about growing up and about having creative friendships.
Yeah.
And so there's these two boys that are making comics together as they grow, and now with Dogman they're getting a little bit older, and they're starting to, even though they're still making funny books, they're starting to explore more complicated themes like empathy and abandonment, destiny, nature versus nurture, all kinds of more complicated themes are kind of entering into their stories.
The thing I always liked about comics and comic types, so to speak, in that genre is that some people don't like to read that much, so the illustrations draw you into it, and you do have to read the bubbles to know what's going on to some extent. So it kind of forces you to read, even though that may not have been your intent to begin with.
Yeah, I think that's actually a very good format for kids, especially if you're just starting to read, or if you're perhaps learning English as a second language, or something like that. Because you have the words, like you said, the words and the pictures are combined, and the words, the pictures kind of give you contextual clues to the meanings of the words.
Yeah.
So it helps not only with learning to read, but also with vocabulary acquisition.
When you put this together, do you picture parents doing the book with their children, or do you picture the children picking up the book and actually getting into it themselves?
Well, I think both are important. Because when I was a kid, I loved it when my parents would read to me. And so I try to put in humor that the adults will enjoy as well. Mm-hmm. So there's some jokes for the grown-ups and jokes for the kids.
Yeah.
Everything's all family-friendly. But I would love it if parents and kids read the books together. But they're certainly geared towards independent readers to read on their own. If they're probably 7 or 8 years old, they could start with Dogman.
Yeah. New York Times bestseller list on the Captain Underpants and all the other shit. It's kind of something there, man. That's a nice deal. Congratulations.
I know. Yeah, I feel very very lucky that my books have connected with such a large audience.
Are you a New York person?
I am. I love New York, but I'm not in New York right now. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, where I grew up.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm just curious. This has nothing to do with anything, but as a writer, I'm just curious. When you sit down, do you look out the window at something, or like what do you put yourself in the mood somehow? How do you discipline yourself to sit down and do this?
You know, I love to draw, and so I think one of the things that really gets me in the mood is just putting the pencil to paper and just starting to make some sketches. A lot of times, the characters their personalities will come out in the sketches. Mm-hmm. And so that helps me to write. And and as a writer, sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to be writing about. But I find that if you sit down and force yourself to do it, it's better than not forcing yourself, because you'll end up with nothing if you don't do anything.
Yeah. Well, really good characters kind of write themselves, and they tell you what to write, which is kind of that's the sign of a strong character.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too, because they sometimes evolve and as they develop. Like, there's a character in Dogman. There's a character named Petey. He started out as the villain, and he was just this cat who was always up to mischief and always trying to take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And as the stories progressed, we're on book number 5 right now. He's trying to be a better person, a better cat, all because of this kitten.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, he has love in his life, and this love is encouraging him to try to be a better version of himself. So he's cool. He's kind of evolving.
Very cool. Well, when is the book available?
The book is Dogman Lord of the Fleas comes out today.
So, yay. All right.
Yeah. Today's the book birthday, so we're very excited.
And now if someone's interested, they can get it just about anywhere. All they have to do is probably just think about it, and it shows up at the door. No, probably not.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's available in any bookstore or library.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations to you, and I hope this is just the first of another 2 million books that you write. I know that's a lot on you, but hey, that's the path that's the path you chose. You got to do this.
That's right.
Okay. Dave, was there a point where there was an E at the end of your first name?
There was, when I was younger. But I used to work at Pizza Hut, and they made a name tag for me, and the label maker was broken.
Oh my God!
And so they didn't print the letter. It didn't print the letter E, so it just kind of stuck.
Wow, that's a cool story in itself.
Yeah,
I like that. All right, Dogman, Lord of the Fleas, released today. pick it up. It's nice. And thanks so much for spending some time with us. Is there a website we can visit?
Yeah, you could just, my last name is Pilkey, so you can go to pilkey.com, or you could go to my publisher, scholastic.com, and there's all kinds of fun resources, and it talks about the upcoming tour as well.
Fantastic. Hey, highly recommended, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Ron. It's great talking to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
That shall do it for me today. I'm going to sit down and read Dave's book, as a matter of fact. How about you? Yeah, I mean, it'll be fun. We can do it together. Okay. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. This is going to be great. So come back tomorrow and listen to it. Will you do that? Okay, good. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Wow. Seriously? You think anybody's going to listen to this stuff? Seriously? Seriously?